This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, March 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. We reported yesterday that in the late afternoon, Tuesday, March 11th, 2014, the Montrose County Sheriff's Office recovered a woman's body in the Sawmill Mesa area of the Uncompahgre Plateau while assisting the Mesa County Sheriff's Office attempting to locate a missing woman. The body has now been identified as that of Jodi Ann Valerio, 47, of Grand Junction, Colorado. The cause and manner of death are pending the result of an autopsy performed at the Montrose Memorial Hospital Forensic Science Lab. There is, however, no evidence of foul play or assault by another. The Montrose County Coroner's Office of Medical Investigation is continuing its investigation, as is the Montrose County Sheriff's Office. A new draft report finds that Colorado is getting hotter. The study written for the Colorado Water Conservation Board is a synthesis of the latest global and regional climate science. It focuses on historical trends and makes projections of future temperature and precipitation through mid-century. Here are the key findings. Average annual temperatures have increased by 2 degrees Fahrenheit over the past 30 years. All areas of the state are warming. The report attributes the warming to human-caused climate change. Despite the recent drought, there are no long-term trends in annual snow and rainfall for Colorado. Still, snowpack has been below average since 2000 in all 8 major Colorado River basins. Snowmelt and runoff have shifted 1 to 4 weeks earlier in the spring over the past 30 years. Before 1900, there were many historical droughts that were more severe and sustained than any in recent memory. That's according to tree ring data and other paleoclimate indicators. The report predicts that temperatures in Colorado will continue to rise. Snowfall will also increase, but that won't necessarily mean a higher snowpack or more spring runoff. That's because warmer winters could melt the extra snow. People can comment on the new report through April 11th at the Colorado Water Conservation Board's website. Eastern Colorado is being buried under a historic drought-induced invasion of tumbleweeds. iNews Network reports that wind-blown tumbleweeds have closed miles of roads, clogged streams, and evoked memories of the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. Tumbleweeds are an invasive plant called Russian thistle. They are highly flammable and a significant fire danger when they pile up against the sides of homes and barns. Some road crews in Crowley County have been attacking the tumbleweeds with a modified combine that chews them up and spits them out like sawdust, but that can help spread the seeds further. Many eastern Colorado counties are meeting this month to come up with a better solution. And now it's time for Sounds of the High Country from KDNK in Carbondale. In the latest issue of the High Country News, Sierra Crane Murdoch tells a tale of contamination, cancer, and cover-up in Fallon, Nevada. KDNK's Nelson Harvey asks Murdoch what she found.
If ever there was a textbook chance to pin down some of the environmental causes of cancer, it was in Fallon, Nevada in the late 1990s. In a town of just over 8,000 people, there were 16 cases of acute lymphoblastic leukemia diagnosed over 5 years. The chance of that happening coincidentally, public health officials have said, was 1 in 232 million. On top of that, there were several possible culprits for the cluster. A jet fuel pipeline, operated by Kinder Morgan Energy Partners, that ran beneath the town's elementary school and likely leaked. A plant operated by the milling company Kennametal that milled a heavy metal called tungsten and emitted fumes that blew into Fallon on the desert wind. Yet too little was known about the environmental causes of cancer or the cancerous properties of jet fuel and tungsten to draw definitive conclusions, and the investigation closed in 2004. When Sierra Crane Murdoch returned to Fallon 10 years later, she was eager to find out why justice hadn't been served. But soon, she found herself asking a different question.
I guess the first question I had going into this story was, why do these cancer cluster investigations always fail? And I knew that out of roughly 400 investigations of the past 20 years, only 3 have really turned up any kind of answer. You know, I was mulling over that question for several years before I knew that I would set the story in Fallon. And what drew me to Fallon in particular was that You know, here is a town with the most significant childhood cancer cluster on national record. And scientists really jumped on it for a reason, because they thought, you know, if there was an investigation that could turn up answers, it seemed like Fallon's might be it. But it wasn't, and it didn't find these answers. And I wanted to know, you know, why not? But I think as time went on, I also found another question that was almost even more interesting to me. And that was, you know, what happens to a place after these investigations fail? And how do these communities and the parents of sick children really cope with that lingering uncertainty?
What did you do to get yourself oriented and educated on this huge and unwieldy story? And how long did that take?
It took me a very long time. I first went to Fallon last June, and I was lucky to meet several sources who did have extensive documentation of what had happened over the investigation's 4 years. I guess the other thing that really helped me was having April Brune, whose son died more recently, guide the story, because she's looking back, trying to understand what happened at that time, so I could begin to peel away the layers of the story as though I was her, trying to find these answers so long after, when many of the people that she meets and many of the people that I met just didn't want to talk about the cancer cluster anymore. I think that helped me focus to think, you know, if I were a grieving parent looking back, what exactly would I want to know?
One of the themes that you weave throughout your piece is the lingering question of whether there was some kind of corporate cover-up or malfeasance in the case. Where do you come down now? Are you still suspicious about the fact that some of these things may have been covered up in some way?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm still not sure. And I think there are really two questions here. One is, you know, did jet fuel or tungsten cause the cancer? And to answer that, I couldn't really say one way or another. There isn't direct scientific proof that jet fuel causes this particular kind of leukemia. And we still know basically nothing about the toxicology of tungsten. But then, you know, the question you're posing, did companies in Fallon put people at risk due to pollution? And then cover that up. And I think, yes, that is very likely, and really based on studies that have come out on tungsten and Fallon since that time, and also eyewitness accounts related to the pipeline.
You end your piece with a fairly remarkable anecdote involving this woman, April Brune, who's the main character in your story. Her son, Ryan, died of cancer, brain cancer. She, in this scene that you write, is meeting with another mother whose daughter died of brain cancer. But she decides to not even discuss, not even bring up her own son's case. Can you talk about why you think that she decided to omit that huge piece of her story?
Yeah, the woman had just suffered this terrible loss, and April 1st, told me that she just wanted to be supportive and not add to the woman's pain in any way. The hardest thing after losing a child is all the wondering that follows. Because now, after all the things that she's learned, she can't help but wonder, you know, if something hadn't happened the way it did, would Ryan still be alive?
Despite scientists' continued attempts to pin the Fallon cancer cluster on everything from tungsten to a mysterious virus that weakens young immune systems, no conclusive cause has been identified. That means that each day, bereaved Fallon families must weigh the question, how much longer should they search for a cause that may never be found? And when is it better to simply start moving on? For KDNK News, I'm Nelson Harvey.
This has been the KBNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft.